What's up, guys? It's the phenomenal AJ Styles, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast.
For the benefit of those with flash photography,
would you please shut the hell up?
Oh, yes!
Ooh, yeah!
That was what was best for business.
That's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Have a nice day!
With your hosts, Steve Credo and Jonathan Benjamin.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to another wrestling podcast. This is episode 41. I'm Steve Credo.
I'm Jonathan Benjamin.
And we are the guys from another wrestling podcast. Jonathan, are you ready for another great show? I don't know how we can outdo last show or the shows prior to that, but do you think we have a chance today?
Absolutely. This is going to be the greatest show we've ever done.
I'm going to hold you to that, Jonathan. But guys, if you're joining us today, you are in for a treat. We have on the show coming up none other than AJ Styles, the current New Japan Pro Wrestling heavyweight champion. Wow, Jonathan, what a treat of having AJ Styles in the studio today.
Yeah, this is one for the record books. This is a current wrestling champion, a huge wrestling champion. Guy wrestles all over the world, and we're just lucky that he took some time out of his busy schedule to be here with us today.
That's right, guys, and if you're listening for the first time today, please head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. You'll find us, you'll find our Facebook links, you'll find our Twitter page, you'll find our Instagram, YouTube, all that, Jonathan, right? Like, follow, subscribe, head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com. You will find everything you need to know about us.
That should be a chant that we have, like, follow, subscribe.
That's it,
like, follow, subscribe.
Maybe a new shirt on the way. Like, follow, subscribe. I don't know what else you could do. I know you could poke people and all that stuff, but hey.
The cops kind of frown on that these days, so just...
No poking us.
No poking.
But anyway, guys, thank you for listening.
I'm newly engaged, too, by the way, so please don't poke me if you see me.
There you go, guys. Ladies, he is officially off the market. When you're engaged, the ring goes on. And so you get the other ring, and then and so on and so forth, Jonathan. But congratulations on that. And ladies, I'm sorry. I know. Please don't stop the podcast now because Jonathan is newly engaged. But the show must go on, right?
Absolutely. Hands off the merchandise.
There you go, guys. Jonathan, I mean, for first-time listeners, they're checking out anotherwrestlingpodcast.com right now. For all the newbies out there who have never heard us today, if you went on anotherwrestlingpodcast.com, what could they possibly stumble upon?
Wow, we have so much going on right now. We are a big part of a couple of promotions in the area. FWE Wrestling, Northeast Wrestling, you can see any of those upcoming shows. You can find out where we're going to be at coming up. You're also going to be able to go back and listen to a lot of our other shows. As you mentioned earlier, this is episode number 41, so there are literally 40 other episodes that you can go back and listen to. And we've had superstars of wrestling. We've had actors. We've had porn stars. You name it, we've had it. Please go back, listen to some of our past episodes.
But Jonathan, I mean, if I'm just a person listening right now, if I'm a mark, why do I want to go back to episode 10 or 15 or 23? I mean, you guys are just going to be talking about an old Raw that I just don't care about anymore. Is that true?
That is not true, and I want to slap you in the mouth for even saying that. We don't do that. We're a topical show. All of our topics are ones that you can debate from here until the end of wrestling time. So, you know, we talk about WWE. We talk about TNA and Ring of Honor and all the independents, but we just do it in a way that we're not talking about, hey, did you see what happened last Monday or, you know, on SmackDown or whatever. So we want the discussion to continue. We want you to listen to the show, tweet us, interact with us. To just, we want to know what you're thinking about these topics as well.
That's right, Jonathan. I had to set you up for that because I want people to understand that if they're listening to this, you know, they can go back to listen to any show and it'll be, you know, just as evergreen as any other show. I mean, for example, you can go back to listen to episode 11 where we talk about valets and we talk with Deborah Marshall. You know, puppies, come on, guys. Or, hey, if you guys are a big mark and know who Frank the Clown is, you can go over to episode 16 where we talk about fans in pro wrestling. Hey, episode 24, we have Al Snow on where we talk about evolution of characters in pro wrestling. So many topics, Jonathan, so many things we can list. I'm not going to read off every 40 episodes of what we did, but just to give all you first-time listeners an idea of what we do every week here on Another Wrestling Podcast, just to get you into tune of what's happening. I mean, there's probably a lot of people that are right now tuning in that just haven't heard the show, so that's kind of what we want to let you guys to know about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Keep listening. Like we said, AJ today, huge things for 2015. We were off to a great start, so let's get into today's topic. You've talked it up so much, I want to find out what we're talking about today.
Well, Jonathan, I mean, we've talked about WWE, we've talked about TNA, we've talked about Ring of Honor, we talked about a lot of indies and independent wrestling around here, but we have yet to mention anything about NJPW, New Japan Pro Wrestling, which seems to be the buzz lately with their, you know, their newly launched network. Especially with the spotlight with current champs like we have on today, AJ Styles, the Bucks, even, you know, the NWO-esque, you know, stable of the Bullet Club, which seems to be on everybody's must-buy shirt list. But, you know, the thing about new NJPW, it doesn't roll off the tongue that easily, but I have no idea about them, Jonathan. I mean, I know who they are. I've seen some of their matches and shows, but I'm just not as involved in them as I am with, say, you know, WWE, which is on every week, 3 or 4 days a week, you know, WWE Network and so on. What I'm asking, Jonathan, is can you help me out here? I have no idea about New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Absolutely. You know, it's not that different from quote-unquote American-style wrestling. They've been around for a long time. And a former WWE competitor and WWE Hall of Famer, as a matter of fact, was the person who started it, and that's Antonio Inoki. So he started New Japan Pro Wrestling. But since it's now kind of become more mainstream, there's, all, like you mentioned, the network that they can watch it on, and a lot of American wrestlers going over there to kind of hone their craft, it has exploded. So we can do a little, you know, like a 101 here. And maybe we're not the only ones that don't know everything about New Japan. So this is, like I said, a good time for any of you who are out there that are listening and you want to join in the conversation and maybe talk to us. Tweet us at A Wrestling Pod or talk to us on Facebook about some maybe New Japan Pro Wrestling things that we have skimmed over. Let's kind of get into this, Credo, because I feel like there may be a lot of people that know about it but don't know enough about it to really go. So my first really introduction to New Japan was because they've kind of worked with a lot of companies out there. To be honest, they've worked with the likes of WWE before, they've worked with TNA, I know they've worked with Ring of Honor, WCW, so I kind of got my introduction through some of those things throughout the years. Mm-hmm. And what's great about that is the fact that once they have worked with a company, it seems to be pretty beneficial for both sides. There's been some talent trades. I know in WCW they got some there was a time during the Monday Night Wars, actually, that you saw a lot of talent coming over. TNA had did some of that whenever they had their, I forget what it was called, where it was basically teams from different countries that were competing. So that was another way that there was a talent exchange. But now they're kind of out on their own right now. So it's really cool to see our guys, some of the people, like you mentioned, AJ Styles, the Young Bucks, even the Bullet Club, that are kind of taking over New Japan Pro Wrestling. But back in the day, whenever wrestlers wanted to hone their craft, a lot of the guys that you know today that are big names came over to wrestle in New Japan Pro Wrestling.
What bigger names? Give me some ideas of what guys went over there.
I'm glad you said that. I really am. I thought you were going to leave me hanging, but Ric Flair, do you know that guy? He was over there. Stan Hansen, Bruiser Brody, Kurt Angle, Arn Anderson, Jeff Hardy, Hulk Hogan, Rob Van Dam, Sting, Stone Cold Steve Austin, the Road Warriors, did I mention Big Van Vader, Scott Norton, and Brock Lesnar? Oh, hold on. Brock Lesnar.
Wow, that's amazing, because I mean, like, I remember hearing about it, but I just never followed it. So it's interesting to hear about this. But, Jonathan, I'm a big championships guy. You know, I know about the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, the Intercontinental Championship, you know, things like that. What's interesting in NJPW that I would love to see? What kind of championships do they have that would intrigue me to watch?
Well, they have the IWGP heavyweight title, which their current champion is obviously AJ Styles, who we have on the show today. So that's their main title. And like I mentioned, Antonio Inoki, he actually won a tournament in 1987 to become their first champion. Along the list of champions that they have there, or other championships, they also have the IWGP Intercontinental title. So I would call that their number two title, really. There's the heavyweight and then the Intercontinental. There's also the IWGP tag titles, which there's really no explanation that needs to be there. There's the IWGP junior heavyweight title.
What's the difference between junior heavyweight and heavyweight?
Well, there is a weight limit on the junior heavyweight, so it's similar to what a cruiserweight title would be. Right. Now, this title was actually created back in 1986, so it's been around for quite a while. And there's the weight limit is actually a 220-pound weight limit. So if you are 221 pounds, sorry about your luck.
All right.
There's also the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Titles.
Wait a minute. So they have tag team champions, and then they have junior heavyweight tag team titles too?
Yep, and this is also a 220-pound weight limit. So, you know, keeping it real with all the different titles.
That's interesting, because I'm thinking, like, do you think, like, WWE or TNA or Ring of Honor or anything like that should kind of copy some of this stuff? Because, I mean, when you're talking about weight classes, that almost makes me think of, like, you know, MMA and all that kind of stuff. Do you think they'll ever do anything like that over here to where, you know, I mean, they have, I mean, well, from what I'm hearing, what you're telling me, New Japan has, like, a plethora of titles right now, and I know they kind of frown upon that over here, but, I mean, do you think they'll ever do it in weight classes kind of thing? Or I don't know, do you like that, or is that interesting to you? I mean, I think that's kind of interesting.
It is. It kind of makes it more real in the sense that they have these kind of weight classes and they stick with it. I'm a big fan of cruiserweight wrestling. You're a big fan of it. We've talked about this before, and you can go back and listen to our show about cruiserweights. And, you know, what really is cool to me is the fact that when they bring over a known entity from from America, in the past it was somebody that had to be huge, because in Japan there really aren't a lot of big guys, to be honest. So they have a lot of these guys who are barely probably making that 220-pound weight limit. But you've got guys, like I mentioned, you've got the Brock Lesnars, the Big Van Vaders, the Scott Nordens, the Bruiser Brodies, Hulk Hogan's, and you just think about these huge, huge guys, and they are just larger than life whenever they come over there. And I know that WWE's been over there before and stuff, and so it's this huge culture, whenever you think about what's Japan's biggest fear is Godzilla, and you bring in these huge wrestlers, then that's what they kind of play off of, that sort of thing. So it's a really cool thing. I love what they're doing, and I'm getting slowly but surely getting back into it. I know you recently said that you've been watching some of it as well. So
yeah, there's so much wrestling, man. I'm trying to catch up little by little, but I'm still getting lost in the dirt track some days, to where it's just, you know, so much going on. So I've really got to catch up. But so tell me about this. I've also heard they have a lot of tournaments. I was a big fan of King of the Ring. You know, those kind of tournaments. We don't really have that many nowadays. I mean, we have like this Battle Royal happening at WrestleManias or the Royal Rumble. But they don't really have too many tournaments here in the mainstream wrestling. Can you tell me, do they have – I know they're pretty big on tournaments from what I heard. Anything you could briefly tell me about some of what they do out there with tournaments?
Yeah, and you know what's cool about this too is these tournaments are almost pay-per-view-esque in the sense that, like, we have Money in the Bank or we have Survivor Series – King of the Ring, like you mentioned. These kind of really go with those types of situations. So there's what they call the G1 Climax. And
hey-o.
We just lost our PG tag again. This is like the tournament in New Japan. And they're really – the wrestlers are separated into pools, not like, you know, waiting pools or anything, but so these pools keep going and until there's two guys left. And at one point, like, each guy wrestled 9 matches over 11 days.
Oh, geez.
And
that's a tournament in it right there.
Yeah, it's, you know, if you don't have a long attention span, then you're going to be kind of out of it. But the winner of this tournament actually receives a shot at the IWGP heavyweight title at Wrestle Kingdom. Now, Wrestle Kingdom is one of their big pay-per-views, and that's the one that we just had, Wrestle Kingdom 9, that you heard all the buzz about on the interweb. But aside from that, they also have the World Tag League, and it's the tag team equivalent of the G1. So they have one that's just highlighting tag team matches.
Man,
awesome.
Yeah, this makes me jealous because I kind of wish they would do that stuff here. I mean, we always complain. We've had a show about what fans complain about. And, you know, people get, you know, too wrapped up into storylines. Just wrestle. Have these tournaments. That's like your story right there, man. I mean, wow. I kind of wish we would have more tournaments over here. But that just right there makes me just kind of, you know, want to get more into New Japan. You know, just to see these. Because I'm a wrestling fan. I love sports entertainment. But, you know, I like to watch, you know, the wrestling aspect of it, and having these tournaments, I mean, it just gives it something better to watch instead of, you know, what we watch daily, weekly basis of a TV show. I would totally love to see like a tournament going on here. But what else, Jonathan? Is there anything else? We could talk about some of these tournaments or no?
There's a ton of different tournaments, and the one that I really want to talk about is the one that probably gets, I guess, in America, it's probably the one that gets the most buzz. I don't know the word that I want to use there, but it's the Best of the Super Juniors. Now, that is, we talked about the Junior Heavyweight Tournament. So this is held every year in June, and it's the pool format as well. And the top 2 wrestlers from each pool end up advancing to the semifinals. But the winner of this tournament receives a shot at the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. That is the one that is I liken to the cruiserweight. So believe it or not, somebody who is in NXT right now won this, and there's been numerous winners that have went on to do big things in the United States, but Prince Devitt or Finn Balor actually won this tournament. So that tells you right there the kind of caliber that this tournament, what kind of talent is in this tournament.
Sure. So, man, all right. So first of all, we had some big American names wrestle over there through the years. They have a different, unique championship class. I mean, with weight classes and whatnot, which I kind of wish they would do here. But I kind of understand that, you know, at certain points it might get little too confusing, especially with the kind of guys you have on your roster. But a lot of interesting titles, a lot of interesting tournaments. But tell me, I mean, we have the Royal Rumble, we have WrestleMania, Survivor Series, at least from the WWE aspect of pay-per-views. But what do they have over there that's maybe the equivalent that I really need to see? What's some of the biggest shows that they have?
Well, like I said, Wrestle Kingdom is the hugest, is the biggest, their biggest one. It is at the Tokyo Dome. That's what they call WrestleMania. That's held every January.
Okay.
The August, like we mentioned, is the G1 Climax. It's the second kind of biggest card of the year. And it's the final night of the G1. So this, the Climax, like, keeps going, keeps building, if you will. keeps going. And then, like, the final night is in August there at the Climax. So, like, this is where it all boils down to. And as we mentioned before, the winner gets a contract for a title shot at Wrestle Kingdom. So you could almost say that this is similar to Money in the Bank in the sense that the person gets this and they have to wait from August all the way to January before they get their title shot.
Interesting. So tell me this, Jonathan, because, I mean, we talked a little bit about a lot of different things in New Japan Pro Wrestling. And I mean, like I said, I don't really want to read the Wikipedia page, but I mean, you gave me a lot of information as a fan who might be interested to check them out. And I'm interested. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on today in wrestling, but, I definitely want to make a little bit more of an effort to tune in of something I really don't know, because what you told me today, I could definitely get interested in, and I can't wait for it. But, I mean, how about this? I want to not turn the tables on you, but let's talk a little bit about wrestlers now who could probably succeed in New Japan. Granted, we know we have AJ Styles coming up shortly, but Jonathan, right now, who do you think? I mean, like John Cena, or I don't know, anybody from any wrestling company, who would you want to see over there wrestling? And do you think it would work? Do you think they could cross promote properly? I mean, I know some people wouldn't probably let it happen, cough, Vince McMahon, but you know, do you think that would be best for business to help integrate some of the characters or wrestlers or superstars that we have here over with Japan and kind of help cross promote more?
Absolutely. I think that in WWE, there's such a pool of talent that has, some of them have already wrestled over there, which is just awesome to think about that they've made their way pretty much around the world. But the talent is kind of, you know, it's just across the board. So I would put people like Cesaro, even Tyson Kidd, they're going to be good wrestlers. Tyson Kidd would probably be one of the, you know, the super juniors. I would put Daniel Bryan over there. That's the kind of style that these people are more accustomed to. We've got all these people right now. I don't think a John Cena, he's going to be more of an attraction in the same sense as, you know, Brock Lesnar, even though Brock Lesnar has got a lot more wrestling talent than, but, you know, guys like A-Train, who were in there, he was Giant Bernard. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when he came in, they tried doing the whole Japan-esque gimmick with him, with Lord Tensai, and that really didn't go over here. So
No, but it's amazing because in Japan, he was like a, no pun intended, but he was a huge deal. So
exactly.
I think that there's a lot of, it's probably easier for a established guy to go over to Japan here than it is for somebody in Japan. And right now we have Hideo Itami. So if you think about that, fans really like him because he was Kenta, but they had to kind of switch it up and kind of give him some more flavor to the American fans because of just the cultural problems that there are. And so I think that there's a lot of great talent, mostly in NXT, that have already either worked over there or could go over there with no problems.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think, you know, what would be really awesome is like a John Cena. I would love to see them doing some kind of cross promotion, have a match. But the thing comes down to it is like, you know, do you have Cena win? Do you have Cena lose? I'm just using Cena as an example of, since he's, you know, he's like the biggest name over here in a way right now, currently wrestling. It would be interesting to see. I think, you know, companies like New Japan and WWE, would you love to see like a cross-promoted pay-per-view? I mean, granted, you have to kind of explain to the American audience who these guys are, where they're coming from. You know, I know it gets too much into the storytelling of we have no idea who they are. Granted, some of the population of wrestling fans do, but would you kind of love to see like a cross-promoted event to where it was like WWE versus New Japan? Do you ever think we'll ever see that in our lifetime, or not just WWE, but I mean like any other company too?
Yeah, I think that it's great. Like I said, it's happened before where talents have came over or whatever, but I think now that they have more exposure in the American market or just the world market, to be honest, that you probably will start to see some of this cross promotion. I don't think you're going to get it with WWE. I could be wrong, but I think that you're going to probably still get some with maybe TNA, possibly Ring of Honor. And, you know, there's even been some independents in the area that could probably pull it off as well. So with, you know, and when you think about this, when you have all American title holders right now, or a huge crop of Americans that are wrestling over there, and they go around the world with your championship, it's going to bring attention to your brand. So I think that that's what's happening right now. And with AJ Styles, with the Young Bucks, with, you know, Luke Gallows, Carl Anderson, like that's exactly what's happening right now. And I don't think it'll be too long before you see some of that crossover. And my best bet is going to say Ring of Honor is where you're going to see that happen.
That's, I mean, it's great. Some people may not think it is, but I think it's good business, regardless of bringing in other champions for your company. And I would be excited to see it, and I would pay money to see it. So, guys, if you're listening, listen to the fans. Listen to us, right? So, Jonathan, I thank you so much for informing me because, you know, I didn't really know too much about it. But, guys, joining us right now, we have the current IWGP Heavyweight Champion, AJ Styles, with us right now.
Razors and the dying rose is prayed. I don't leave you alone. The demigods and hungry ghosts. So God knows I'm not at home.
It is an absolute honor to introduce our next guest. He is almost guaranteed to be wrestling in a town near you, no matter where you live. He is one of the hardest working wrestlers in the business today, multi-time champion, and quite possibly the best wrestler in the world today. I give you the phenomenal AJ Styles.
What's up?
AJ, thank you so much for joining us today. Right off the bat, what have you been doing lately? I know you've been traveling all over the world. It's been crazy for you. Where are you just getting back from?
Well, I literally just told my wife that I've been flying for a week. I left on a Monday to go to Japan, land on a Tuesday, wrestle on Wednesday, come home on Thursday, take my wife out for Valentine's Day on a Friday, even though it's on a Saturday, because on Saturday I leave for England and wrestled on the Sunday and came home on a Monday. So it's a lot of flying.
Yeah, absolutely. You're racking up those miles, though, I guess.
Yeah, I can't complain about that. You know, and Delta Airlines is good to me, so they make it a little bit easier to do a lot of flying.
In many circles of the world, you are considered the best wrestler in the world today. Now's the time to brag a little bit. Do you agree with that?
You know what? I don't think it takes two guys to put on an incredible match. And I've been blessed to be able to get, you know, don't get me wrong, I've been in there with some guys who haven't had the experience as others, but, for some of them, they may not have the experience, but they have the athletic ability, so it makes for a great match, you know. I just think that there are so many guys that I've had the opportunity to wrestle that are so good, and maybe you've never heard of them, maybe you have, but you know, they're just really good at what they do, and they're, you know, trying to perfect their craft, as am I, and we put together great matches. So for me to be the best wrestler in the world, I don't know that I agree with that. I think that, you know, I just have been blessed with, being in the ring with great talent.
Okay. Now, you, like we mentioned, you're pretty much the hottest free agent around. With all these offers on the table, what's the most important factor for you in picking a place to work?
Well, you know, honestly, I wouldn't say that I'm a free agent at this point. You know, I'm with New Japan Pro Wrestling, and you know, so I mean, you know, to me, a lot of people say, "Well, he's an independent guy." Well, if you call the fastest growing company in the world, you know, and wrestle in front of 60,000 people, you know, an independent, then I guess I'm still doing, you know, an independent guy, but, you know, but I understand what they're saying, and I get the opportunity to wrestle on the independents, but so do TNA guys now. So, I don't know, man. I don't know that I'm the hottest free agent anymore. I think that New Japan is where I call home.
With your free agent status, you are able to go and do just about anything. How does it feel to have that sort of freedom in pro wrestling today?
It's great. It's fun to get out there and wrestle guys who've never had the opportunity to wrestle. That's you know, the main thing with me is just getting out there and experiencing all, you know, the best that the world has to offer, basically. And, you know, and it's fun too. I get excited about doing indies, that, especially ones I've never been to before. That's fun for me. So I'm having a great time, you know, doing the indies, and it's a blessing that New Japan lets me do that. Cause I mean, I'm their world champion. They're heavyweight champion. They don't necessarily say world, but, I'm the self-proclaimed, world champion since I defended all over the world. But, you know, if I get hurt doing an independent, you know, that's a big deal. So for me to be able to do independents, and called New Japan Pro Wrestling home is a big deal.
Now you've brought it up, but we have to ask you, what do you currently think about the current state of independent wrestling? It's kind of going through what people have been calling a boom period. Are you just excited that there's such an interest in independent wrestling these days?
Well, I think there's a reason for that. I don't think that the wrestling that we're seeing on television, you know, whether it be TNA or WWE, is giving the people what they want to see. You know, they try to tell them what they want to see, but they just don't want to give it to them. So they search out independents, and they're, you know, giving them, you know, these holes that are in the wrestling that's on TV, independent wrestling's providing, mm-hmm. You know, and I think that's why we're seeing a boom now. And I mean, it was a shocking surprise to me to be in that bubble that I was with TNA for so long, and then, okay, I'm back on independence, and the first independent that I go to, we, you know, it drew more people than the house shows that TNA was putting on.
Yeah.
So it was a pleasant surprise to know that independent wrestling was not dead. Far from it.
Speaking of independent wrestling, you'll be coming to the East Coast soon to wrestle for both FWE and Northeast Wrestling. Northeast Wrestling, March 6th, WrestleFest 19. You are wrestling Warbeard Hansen. How hard is it to prepare for so many different types of competitors?
Well, you know, it's pretty easy. My style is to adapt. You know, that's the thing. And I've wrestled so many different guys. You know, big, small, fast, strong, that I feel like I'm literally prepared to wrestle pretty much anybody in the world. But my thing is, you know, I got to adapt to what people want to see, the wrestlers that I'm in the ring with. That's the biggest thing. I think that's what makes a wrestler, you know, climb that ladder to greatness. And though I'm far from greatness, you know, I think that being in the ring with, you know, so many different guys you know, helped me out a lot, for sure.
Now, we go from that match to another one, FWE Wrestling March 11th, live from Brooklyn. You will be wrestling John Hennigan in what a lot of people have been calling a dream match. How much pressure do you put on yourself to live up to the fans' expectations during matches like this?
Well, I got to be honest with you. I feel like I work really well under pressure, but at this point in my career, I don't really put that much pressure on myself. Whether it's, you know, 60 people in the crowd or 60,000, they're going to get the same match from AJ Styles. So I'm going to go in there and do what I do best, and hopefully that, you know, the people enjoy it and they get their money's worth. I mean, that's what it's all about anyway, is making sure that these fans want to see me and my opponent wrestle again.
Do you have any other dream matches that you are hoping to have in the near future?
You know, when people talk about dream matches, I feel like it's the fans that have the dream matches. I'm just the guy that tries to put them on. You know, it's because, you know, I see guys as my peers and in the wrestling business, and so it's not really a dream match to me. It's just I don't want to say another day on the job, but that is what I do for a living. But I do have a good time doing it. So to put on dream matches for the fans, it's my pleasure. You know.
Like we said, you're literally wrestling everywhere from Japan to the U.S. and everywhere in between. Where do you think the fans are the most passionate about professional wrestling?
They always have been, as long as I've been going over there. It's the U.K. You know, pretty much if you ask anybody, any place that they've ever went, these people are just, you know, they love pro wrestling. And they're always great crowds, just always. You can count on it every time you go over. Definitely Canada is up there as well. They really enjoy pro wrestling. It's like a part of their culture, you know. So, and then the fans in Japan are, you know, a different crowd. You know, they're not as rambunctious, but they show a lot of respect to every one of the wrestlers, whether they're a heel or babyface. They show them a lot of respect. So there are different places, and it depends what you're looking for, but you can count on some of them to be as crazy as you want. And then, you know, when we're in Japan, you just make sure that you have your working boots on if you want some respect. But you won't hear it, but you'll see it.
You recently recaptured the IWGP Heavyweight Wrestling Championship. With that being said, what are some of your favorite things about wrestling in Japan?
I would think the most... You know, the biggest thing about Japan, a favorite thing, is the locker room. It's a locker room full of professionals, not guys who have egos, but professionals. The great thing about the locker room, it's not about winning or losing. It's about making New Japan a better place to work and a bigger place to work. You know, I think that's what I love about it the most.
Okay, now you've spent a lot of time in the wrestling business, and as the old adage goes, you have a lot of acquaintances in this business, but very few friends. Who are some of your best friends in the business of wrestling?
Well, you know, lucky for me, and not many people can say this when it comes to best friends, and definitely not wrestling, but, you know, I have three. There's three guys that, you know, if they're on a show, I'm going to be with them. If, you know, we were all at TNA together, we were all together. You know, that's Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, and Frankie Kazarian. Those guys, literally guys I can call 3 o'clock in the morning to go get me on the side of the road, and it doesn't matter how far I'm away. So those are guys I can count on and, you know, call at any time, and I am blessed to call those guys my friends.
Do you ever watch NXT?
I haven't watched a lot of it, I got to be honest. And even though I have the WWE Network, I have it, and I just, you know, it's hard for me to find time to watch it. You know, a lot of times I'm watching Nickelodeon or the Disney Channel, whether I like it or not. That's what's on my television. I have four children, so that's what they want to watch. So, you know, but sometimes when I'm working out, if it's on a Monday night, I'll, you know, and it's just me and the TV, I'll throw it on and work out and watch a little bit of it. I just don't really have the opportunity. I do get on YouTube, especially if I know that I'm going to work someone, and I don't really know them that well. I'll watch some stuff on YouTube about these guys. That way, I'm prepared and to put on a great match. You know, because at least I know who I'm working and what they do and what their style is. So, I think I may be missing out on some NXT. I think there's a lot of great wrestling going on there, and that I need to get to watching it.
Yeah, what are your thoughts on so many of the world's best wrestlers now being housed in one place? Before, you know, and not to say that there aren't a lot of great wrestlers that are wrestling all over the world, but you've got Kevin Owens, Kevin Steen, you've got Sami Zayn, you've got all these guys on there that you've definitely had matches with and stuff. Do you think that that's good that they're all kind of in one place?
I think it's great if they ever have the opportunity to move to the next level. I mean, that's where the money's made, and these guys are making, they literally are making NXT what it is. But, you know, soon they need to be moved up to, you know, regular WWE TV, and make good money. That, at the end of the day, you know, this is what we do for a living. This is what we do for a job. And, you know, you only have a certain amount of years that you can, you know, make good money. So I'd like to see those guys move up and make WWE a better product, because they need those guys right now up there with Daniel Bryan to make a better TV. And I think that's, you know, I think it's great that the these guys that I know and I call them friends are getting the opportunities. And I just hope that, it, you know, the opportunity for them to make really great money comes very soon.
You probably get asked in nearly every interview if you would ever be a part of the WWE. The question we want to know is, do you even want to be a part of the WWE?
Well, I mean, you know, I've heard people say on my Twitter, like, he doesn't want to be part of the WWE. I've never said I did not want to be a part of it. I just don't see a reason mm-hmm. to be part of it right now. I think New Japan's a great place to work. Independence, I'm having fun. I'm able to support my family. Yeah, there's really no reason for me to go there. But, you know, money talks. There's always a reason there. But I can't see that being an option. Being that I was a TNA guy, and I think that may be a big blow. In fact, that maybe I'm 37 years old is a big deal to him. I don't know. But whatever the case, it's not going to hurt my feelings. You know, a lot of people will say, well, what about your WrestleMania moments? You know, I had a Wrestle Kingdom moment. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not that big of a deal. I think a lot more people put, you know, too big an emphasis on WWE as saying that, you know, it's the best place to work. It's, you know, the biggest in the world. You know, I don't know that that's true. And at the end of the day, it's not about, you know, working for WWE. So, are you happy doing what you're doing? Because if you're happy doing what you're doing, you're going to do it better. I think that's very important.
Now, you kind of brought it up. We haven't really talked about this yet, but TNA Wrestling, you were the guy for TNA Wrestling. You were the pillar of the company. How did it feel to you kind of going out the way that you did? Now, you've mentioned it on several interviews and in passing and stuff, but do you wish that it kind of, you went out on your own terms, basically, but do you wish it would have happened in a different way?
Well, you know, honestly, I thought I was going to retire from TNA. I thought that's, you know, that I put my time in, that I deserved what I, you know, as far as the benefits of being there for so long, and that they trust me enough to make sure that I was always going to give 100%. But when it came down to it, that they, it sounds like they didn't trust me at all. You know, we couldn't agree on, you know, a contract. And a lot of people say, well, AJ, that's just being greedy. Well, this is what I do for a living. This is you know, how I support my family, and this is going to support me when I retire for the rest of my life. A lot of people don't understand that. I would never tell someone who has been working for, you know, wherever it might be for 11 years and putting their time and busting their tails so they can move up in a company to make more money, because that's what it's all about when you're working for a company. You're hoping to get that, you know, that higher position, that promotion, so that you make a little bit more money. It may be a little bit more responsibility, but you're making a little bit more money, and it's worth it. And I think, you know, I thought that's where I was going, because I'd put in the time, you know, I never got in trouble. I was one of those guys I felt like you could trust. And well, we just, you know, if they would have said, AJ, we just do not have it, you know, and this is all we can offer. And if you go somewhere else, we understand. That would have made a world of difference, but it wasn't that. It was, they were negotiating with me this contract that wasn't even close, and wasn't really willing to work around what I needed. You know, in retrospect, when you look back, had they went back and said, "Okay, this is the dates that you'll wrestle, and here's the money we can offer for those dates," it would have been exactly probably what I would have wrestled anyway. And had I stayed with them, but that's not what they wanted. Yeah. So things didn't work out, and it sucks the way that it did, because I don't want to say that I'm bitter, but there were some disruptive moments that I couldn't believe that they would offer such a degrading contract. So, nevertheless, it all worked out in the end, and time heals everything. You know, I've talked with Dixie. You know, I'm not mad at her, and I'm in a better place because, you know, I did not take the contract, and you know, they seem like they're doing well. So I think it all worked out for everybody.
Your career is coming full circle because you are currently a part of Ring of Honor again. What is it like to come back to be part of such a historic company?
I love Ring of Honor. Always have. You know, when I left the first time, but it was due to some management problems that they had, some guys who were, you know, that were part owner. And it wasn't my call. It was TNA's call at the time. So it stopped, you know, leaving there. But once, you know, TNA got, you know, going strong, it was one of those things where, well, you can't wrestle for another television, and that's understandable. So to finally come back and work for Ring of Honor, it's such a blessing being there too. They're a lot like New Japan Pro Wrestling. The locker room's great. And, you know, it seems like, you know, Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels also came, you know, when their contract was up with TNA. So it's nice having those guys in there. And you never know who's going to show up next. I think that it's a great place to work and always will be, as long as these guys, you know, keep striving to be a little bit better, you know, and not worrying about getting, you know, whatever to the next level too fast and you're spending too much money. And the next thing you know, they're out of business. They do a really good job at taking their time and to get there. And I think it's a special place to work.
Now you have some, this was maybe it's a rumor, but I think I saw this on social media. You may be bringing some friends with you to the Las Vegas event. Is this true?
That's just a rumor. Not if I bring anybody, it will be my family, but I don't think they're going to be able to make it. So
okay,
I think that's just a rumor, pal.
Okay, well that's why we're asking.
I actually saw that somebody was, I forget who it was, they were bringing someone to one of the ROH events. So I don't know what it is.
Okay, well that's why we ask you on these interviews, because we want to know the truth. So
who would they think that I'm bringing? Who would you think that I'm bringing?
What I saw was there are some members of the Bullet Club that were going to be coming with you.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I don't think that's a rumor.
Okay. So that's the real deal then.
Yeah, I think that's a given.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's something that's very interesting. There's a lot of diehard wrestling fans in America, but they don't necessarily get to always watch, you know, New Japan or anything like that. So what is the Bullet Club? How did it get started? Could you explain that to us?
Well, you know, obviously I wasn't a part of the Bullet Club when it first started. Mm-hmm. So, I believe it was, Prince Devitt, who is now in WWE or NXT, that started the whole thing. But as guys faded out, you know, we came in and, you know, literally Prince Devitt, left and I came in and I don't want to say filled his shoes, because I don't think I could, but went in there and put another body in there along with, you know, Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson being one of the pioneers. And the Young Bucks are in there. Kenny Omega, Yujiro. Who am I forgetting? Let's see. Bad Luck Fale, Tamatanga. These are guys that, you know, were there before I was. I was the last member, I think. Actually, I got in there before Yujiro. So, and Kenny Omega, we know these guys are great wrestlers. And basically the way it came about, it was the Bullet Club are a bunch of shooters. That's where you get the bullet. Mm-hmm. So I hope that makes sense. And that's what I've gathered from it. But the fact that, you know, I'm in there with a great bunch of guys that just want to have fun and do what we think is fun. It doesn't matter if anybody hates it or whatever it is, that we're just having fun, you know, at the end of the day, I think people realize that and they're kind of drawn to us.
Speaking of historic companies, few people may remember that you were once a part of WCW before they folded in 2001. What did you think about your time in WCW?
Well, I was just happy to be there. I mean, it was a major company. I'd watched it on television for many years and to have the opportunity to go there was awesome. You know, so everybody's like, "Well, what was it like?" I don't really know. It didn't last very long. I was only on, I think, two or three TVs, and had five matches the whole time that I was there, 6 months, and I was done. You know, I wasn't done. The company was done. So, yeah, I mean, I enjoyed being there for the short time that it was. At least I could say I was there, but it was definitely a short run.
Lightning round.
Something other than wrestling that you enjoy?
Video games.
What games do you enjoy?
You know, I've really gotten to retro games here lately. The reason for that is I get to go to New Japan. When I go to New Japan, there's all kinds of, you know, retro gaming stores there. So I just pick up, you know, all kinds of cool stuff. And it was all the stuff that I wanted as a kid, but my parents never had the money. So it's cool to have that opportunity to get some of these games, like the TurboGrafx-16. I don't know if a lot of people know what this is. Probably don't. You know, it was one of the first 16-bit consoles to come out. And a buddy of mine had it. So, you know what? I had to get me one. I'm a big fan of Virtual Pro Wrestling 2 for the Nintendo 64. It's an All-Japan wrestling video game. Probably the best wrestling video game ever made. And I play that still to this day. The OGO, you know, these are, I was thinking the other day, I have three Neo Geos. One is an actual arcade stand-up machine in my house. The other is a Neo Geo CD-Z, I believe that's what it's called. CD-Z, where it just takes Neo Geo, it's CDs. And then I have a handheld that also, I can't stop myself. I'm addicted to video games. So literally, if you stop me in the airport, what you're going to find is a book bag full of, you know, a handheld Super Nintendo in my bag, a 3DS, a Neo Geo Pocket, probably my Xbox because I carry that wherever I go. So that, I really have a problem. I'm really having an addiction, probably. At least I can admit it, though.
Well, yeah, and there's probably worse things that you could be addicted to, so I think video games are all right.
Well, I'm glad you think so. My wife's not too happy about it. So.
Favorite wrestler of all time?
Oof, that's a hard one. I can tell you, man, I really always enjoyed when I had the opportunity to see them on TV or the Road Warriors. There was just something about these jacked-up guys with face paint that I just couldn't get over. And I think a very close second, I mean, very close, was Sting. Also, it may have had something to do with Paint Your Face,
yeah.
You know, because I love Sting when, you know, he was the original, but when he went to the Crow Sting, I thought it was even cooler. So, those guys, man, I just really enjoyed watching. They just, like, I guess it was their superhero kind of look to them with the face paint and all. So, I was just drawn to them.
Now, you have some amazing maneuvers that you use in the ring, whether it be the Pele kick, the Styles Clash. What is your favorite finishing maneuver? And it doesn't even have to be your own. It can be something that you love just to watch.
Well, that's a tough one. I think that any finisher that I've never seen before, which is hard to come up with, is always enjoyable to watch. You know, that's so difficult. we're gonna have to come back to
that. Okay, all right.
I'm really, you know what? I'll tell you this. I'm really enjoying the Bloody Sunday, which wasn't made up by me. I thought it was at the time, but it wasn't. Prince Devitt also does the Bloody Sunday, so I started using it before I went to New Japan. And when I got over there, like, oh, Prince Devitt does that move. I go, oh, well, then I'll do it as kind of a, you know, like a shout out to him when I use it in Japan. But
yeah.
That's becoming one of my favorite moves.
Okay, awesome.
Will you ever open your own wrestling school?
I have seriously, thought about that. Yeah, seriously considered it. You know, it's just the right place. I would want something that, you know, people could come and spend some time there, meaning that I don't want you to come for a month and you're done. That's just not enough training, and I wouldn't want to put my name on that. But an original, hey, come here, you know, spend a couple months and we'll find a place for you to work at part-time and a place to stay, and let's find a way to get you the proper training that you need that when people call about, whoever it is, call me about it. I'm saying, yep, he is ready to go. He's trained his butt off, and he was one of my students, and I'm proud to say that he's ready to go. But it's find the right time, right place to do it, and, when that happens, you never know.
What is your favorite video game-inspired movie?
Ooh, video game-inspired movie. Oh, man, there'd been some stinkers, too.
Yes.
It was probably, I think, one of the better ones was Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
One and two. I thought they were really well done. It wasn't too hokey. They stayed with, the video game. They went with that, and that made it, a great watch for, guys who love Mortal Kombat. So I would say that's probably the best one. But, definitely some stink Street Fighter 2. Oh, my God, we're talking about Van Damme. Oh, it's terrible. I think, I'm pretty sure there was a Mario Brothers movie.
Yes, John Leguizamo.
I know there was a TV show, and it was a stinker.
Yes.
I'm sure there's more, but... there have been some anime that's not really terrible or anything like that. The Tekken had an anime, and that was pretty good.
Okay.
I'll give them that. It was pretty good.
Right.
I'm trying to think of any others that I know of. Resident Evil, I never really got into those. I didn't feel like it followed the story of the video game.
Yeah.
So kind of, But yeah. they're decent movies.
Okay.
That's about all I got.
Now, we definitely thank you for your time today. We know that social media is a huge part of your world, we're sure. So where can fans keep up with you today?
Well, my website, www.ajstyles.org, it's got my schedule on there, so you'll be able to keep up with where I'm going and chat with me on Facebook.
Okay, and we're sure you have a pro wrestling tee shop as well, correct?
I do. And also, I have a Twitter handle, which is AJStylesORG. So hit me up on Twitter, man. I'm all, I always look at my Twitter. It seems like you're obsessed with, what's going on Twitter. So I'm one of those guys as well. When you're sitting on a plane, you got nothing to do, wait for it to go, you take off and, checking Twitter.
All right. Well, we want to thank you so much for your time today. Good luck in the future and everything that you have going on. Obviously, a very busy man. So thank you for joining us, and have fun out there.
All right, man. I appreciate it.
Today's show is brought to you by
ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. They provide opinions on pro wrestling in articles without oversaturating the net with news and rumors. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse has provided a platform for wrestling fans to write about what they love, pro wrestling. They don't censor people, within reason, and allow any and all opinions on the site. Check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com.
Community Calendar.
Come out this Friday, March 6th, to Waterbury, Connecticut, to see Northeast Wrestling's WrestleFest 19. We will be there live at the Crosby High School, 300 Pierpont Road. You can meet all the stars at 6 p.m. and the show time starts at 8. Some of the matches that you're actually going to get to see: Alberto El Patron versus Matt Hardy, Jerry Lawler versus Brian Anthony, the Young Bucks are going to be there, Harlem Heat, Booker T, and Stevie Ray. AJ Styles is going to be taking on Warbeard Hansen. I can't say enough about this event. It's going to be amazing. Teddy Long is going to be there. You've got everybody's going to be there. We're going to be there. Stop on by. Check out northeastwrestling.com to get tickets or anything else for this great event.
All right, guys. And Sunday, March 8th, meet Rowdy Roddy Piper at Collector's Realm at the Duchess Marketplace in Fishkill, New York, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Guys, a special treat from Another Wrestling Podcast, because if you have an AWP t-shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com/AnotherWrestlingPodcast, you will receive a free photograph with the Hot Rod himself. That's a $20 value with a purchase of an autograph. So basically, a buy one, get one free just for wearing our shirt. A must not miss. Check out CollectorsRealm.net for more information.
Speaking of a must not miss, FWE 19 you're going to see the dream match of all dream matches this coming Wednesday, March 11th. And it is AJ Styles versus John Hennigan, formerly known as John Morrison. The best 2 out of 3 falls for the World Heavyweight Championship. You're also going to see the likes of Tommy Dreamer versus Chris Hero, Joey Ryan and Candice LeRae versus Paul London and Beta Scott, Johnny Gargano versus Bandito Jr., and VSK versus Orange Cassidy. All that and much, much more. Please go to fwwrestling.com for any information.
We want to thank you guys for listening today. Every week we create something for you to listen to, and it's absolutely free. We are the Wrestling Fans Podcast, because after all, we're fans also. Help us out by subscribing to our show on iTunes. While you're there, you can rate us and give us a good review.
If you're looking for more AWP, then head on over to anotherwrestlingpodcast.com to find out more about upcoming guests and where we may pop up. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and buy an official AWP shirt from ProWrestlingTees.com. We couldn't do the show without you, so please tune in next week for
another wrestling podcast.